3 of them at a time and make a lesson out of that. So we'll be doing this, I hope, for several more months. So this is kind of like lesson number 5 in the series. Verses that come next on that list are from Romans chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. And in their entirety, the verses read, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another." Also put in your notes, the RSV says, "Live in harmony with one another." A like verse that goes along with it in 1 Peter 3, verse 8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind." And it describes what that one mind looks like, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And if you look at the verses before and after, the ones that give us the text or the lesson for the evening, they provide specific instructions of what behavior looks like when we rejoice and weep and live in harmony one with another. In previous lessons, we noted that we are a body. Next, when we are a family. And now in this lesson, it says we're a community that cares one for another. So I put in your notes, really, the lessons on empathy. By empathy, it means you put yourself in the other's place. In other words, if it was happening to you, what would you do? Or how would you feel? How would you respond? So knowing that the other brother is going through that, how would we act? We need to put ourselves in their place. Meaning we need to have the ability to share in the other's emotions, their thoughts, or their feelings. There was an expression, we've heard it, I know from my youth, you know, when before you criticize somebody, you know, by putting yourself in their place, walk a mile in their shoes. And so once you walk a mile in their shoes, you can criticize them. You should feel pretty safe in that because you're a mile away from them and you have their shoes. So feel pretty good. Make sure you walk a mile in one direction, though. You can do that. I saw this article, I think it's Heart to Heart. And kind of goes along with this. It says in his autobiography, number one, Billy Martin told about hunting in Texas with Mickey Mantle. Well, Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle are going to go hunting together. Says Mickey had a friend who would let them hunt on his ranch. So when they reached the ranch, Mickey said, "Billy, you wait here in the car, and I'll go in and check with my friend that we can go hunting on his land." Well, Mickey Mantle's friend quickly gave them permission to hunt. Said, "Sure." But then he said, "Mickey, do me a favor. I have a pet mule in the barn that's going blind, and I don't have the heart to put him out of his ministry. So, Mickey, would you shoot the mule for me before you hunt on my land?" Mickey came back to the car where Billy Martin was, and Mickey Mantle pretended to be angry. He came to the car and scowled and slammed the door, and Billy said, "What's wrong, Mickey?" And Mickey says, "Oh, my friend won't let us hunt on the land." Mickey Mantle said, "I'm so mad at that guy, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out to his barn and shoot one of his mules." Mickey got out of the car, went out to the barn, shot, going to shoot the mule. Billy protested, "Oh, you can't do that." But Mickey Mantle says, "Oh, yes, I can. Just watch me." So Mickey gets to the barn and has his rifle and goes inside and shoots the mule. But as he was leaving, he heard two more shots. He ran back to the car, and there's Billy Martin. He had taken his rifle out too. And Mickey said, "Billy, what are you doing?" Yells back, says, "We'll show him. I just killed two of his cows." I guess the lesson is you have examples of empathy. Even though Wednesday night, week ago, about rejoicing with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Wednesday night, week ago, in our Bible class, Dennis back there announced, you know, it came time any other announcements need to make, and Dennis says, I have good news and bad news. As good news was, Margaret was not required to take some of her strong medication. We said, oh, that's good. Everybody kind of shaved, heads up and down and smiling a little bit, and we rejoiced. And then he said, however, she's at the ER right now because her white cell count in her blood is extremely high. And we all go, oh. We went, oh, that's good. Oh, that's bad. And then Matthew announced, same night, a week ago Wednesday night, I'm moving back to South Carolina a week from Monday, meaning tomorrow. Oh, no. Then he said, I'm going to go back to attend the school of preaching. Oh, boy. Well, not really, but, you know, we want to rejoice with you in that decision. And then Sabrina would be going back, too. That same Wednesday night, Tip called Jim while we were in Bible class. Gave Jim a message. Jim told us after the class what was going on. He said, Sandra, I'm up here with Sandra in the ER. She had some heart pains. Or later she's okay, may need some heart surgery. I don't know. But she's okay all day. Well, sometimes we have that expression, our loss is someone else's gain. Now we're sad on one shore, but somebody else is happy on the other. So we rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Remember the story, Tip reminded me of this story a while back. Kind of fit with one of my lessons, and I didn't think about it at the time, but the story of a man that fell out of an airplane. The other guy was telling me about it, he said, oh, that's bad. The man said, no, that's good. He has a parachute. Oh, that's good. The man said, no, that's bad. The parachute didn't open. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. There's a haystack on the ground underneath him. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. There's a pitchfork in the haystack. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. He missed the pitchfork. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. He missed the haystack, too. So, I mean, you rejoice, and then you weep. That's just the way it seems our lot in life is sometimes. Number one in your notes, rejoice with those who rejoice. I think we need that admonition because sometimes another's rejoicing causes us to envy. The admonition here is in our love for one another, in our getting along for one another. When one rejoices, we rejoice. Envy means discontent at the excellence or the good fortune of another. Proverbs, Solomon said, envy is rottenness of the bones. Usually, you think envy does not stand alone. It's going to show itself in one form. Might be speech or might be actions. But envy will display itself in one way. So the admonition here is to rejoice when other people are rejoicing. It means we're happy for the well-being of another. We're not indifferent to their success. It means an act of sharing in their joy. I'm glad to hear that. When Matthew and Sabrina are moving back, oh, no, we're going to miss you and the things that you've been doing in the congregation here. But yes, there's some good taking place here, too. It's good for, when you think about rejoicing, it's an attitude that says, good for you on our part. Good for you. Just as we rejoice at our own blessings, we need to rejoice at someone else's blessings. And the majority of the time, rejoice is used in the New Testament as reference to the spiritual blessings of another. You know, like Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice in the Lord. But I put it just as one note in your book, in your notes, there's other places that obviously the word rejoice is used abundance of times. But just to show you, in Luke 15, verse 6, the lady said, rejoice with me. With me. Because I found a sheep that was lost. Verse 9, rejoice with me. Because I found the peace that I'd lost. Rejoice with me. Verse 10, there's joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. Verse 32, the story of the son who was prodigal, and the father that welcomes him back. He says it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. It was necessary to be glad. Because this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Just as we rejoice with great abundance over one who's baptized, we need to show that similar exuberance over one who repents and comes back home. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Second is weep with those who weep. A little bit easier. Yeah, we can weep. So just as we've rejoiced with those who have gained, we weep with those who sorrow. Maybe they've lost something. Doesn't always have to mean loss. But there's a sorrowful situation going on in their lives. In John 11, verse 35, the familiar story of the passing of Lazarus, Jesus joins himself to the family, and the Bible says Jesus wept. And I put in your notes, that was one of two reasons that Jesus went to Bethany. In John 11, verse 11, Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Of course, the disciples didn't understand it, then very bluntly he said, Lazarus is dead. But Jesus could have raised Lazarus from where he was. I always think about that, use this illustration when I preach a funeral. Jesus didn't have to be in the presence of the family of Lazarus to raise him from the dead. He could have done that from where he was, several days' journey away. You know, in John chapter 4, I put in your notes, Jesus in Cana of Galilee and healed a nobleman's son who was sick unto death in Capernaum. That's 20 miles away. Jesus healed someone, he's 20 miles away. In Matthew 8, beginning of verse 5, the centurion comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus, oh, such great faith, and it was done. We certainly weep with those who weep over the loss of loved ones. You know, we go to their homes, we attend their funerals. But we know that when I think about Jesus going to the home of Mary and Martha at the death of his friend Lazarus, one of my things is I think that he went primarily to weep with those who weep, just as the text says here. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Because Jesus could have raised him from where he was. You know, we even sing a song in our book, How Sweet, How Heavenly is the Sight. You ever notice those words? It's the lesson we have this evening. It's number 709. In number 709, it says, how sweet and how heavenly is the sight, and here's the sight. When those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight, and so fulfill the word. Second sentence. When each can feel his brother's sigh, and with him bear a part. When sorrow flows from eye to eye, and joy from heart to heart. Third stanza. When free from envy, scorn, and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. Stanza four. When love in one delightful stream through every bosom flows, when union sweet and dear esteem in every action glows. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. There's the admonition. That songwriter has captured the message, made the application of just these phrases, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Then the last one I have is the rest of the verse. The RSV says, live in harmony with one another, or be of the same mind. And so the context is not concerning itself with what the verse says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, that we all speak the same thing. When he says, be of the same mind, he's not saying all of us be of the same speech. That's a different lesson. It's a different verse. You know, there be no divisions among you, speak the same thing. In this verse, he's saying, he's addressing all of us that we are to be sympathetic to one another. That's the admonition. Be of the same mind. Live in harmony one with another. So all of us are to have concern for the community of believers, for all of us. You see, Christianity doesn't exist in a state of isolation, being unmoved by the situation that others are in. And that was that article we read, and I just made reference to it in your notes. We read this article by Taylor McKenzie and on the very first lesson on connecting islands. We're not to live as an island, unconnected to everybody else. We're to be connected one with another, live in harmony one with another, with the same mind, seek the welfare of others just as we seek our own welfare. We take pretty good care of ourselves. But the message is live in harmony with one another. It's all these one another passages. So with the same energy, the same gusto that we look out for our peace of mind and our happiness and our harmony, we need to look out in the lives of one another to see how we can live together. Be of the same mind. And then note these verses surrounding the text. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 13, to finish the verse out. Distribute to the necessity of the saints. So what does living in harmony look like? Distribute to the necessity of the saints. In other words, gladly be benevolent. Give unto hospitality. Be nice to all the brethren. In verse 14, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. So when we're having a hardship, it means don't become unlovely. Don't be like the ones that are treating you badly. Don't take on their characteristics. You maintain the characteristics of Christ's likeness. So you do not become lawless when somebody else is toward you. You do not render evil for evil, is the text. In verse 16 he says, mind not high things. In other words, don't set your affections on the treasures of the earth to the point that it robs you of setting your affections on things above. Condescend to men of low estate. Don't leave anybody out of our friendship. Make sure everyone's involved in a circle. Make sure everyone has someone to talk to. Even if you have to do like I do on Sunday morning, go out this door so I can get to the back before anybody else leaves. I've run through the parking lot. That's an amen of the closing prayer. Don't want to leave anybody out. Be not wise in your own conceits. The verse goes on in verse 16 of Romans 12. In other words, don't be proud of your own wisdom. Say that again. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't be proud of your own wisdom. Boy, am I smart. Yeah. Don't be proud. We need to take on the wisdom of God. No pecking order. We gave it a lesson last week. All of us should be considerate to all of us. There are no separatists. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 adds compassion, love, and pity, and being courteous. Then in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 3, knowing that ye are thereunto called. It's our calling to get along with one another. That ye should inherit a blessing. There's a blessing in that too. You want to receive from God, we give to one another, to all. I just put down the time. I'm going to get back so we can say goodbye to Matthew. Anybody out? So some in the church didn't divide by this. I think I just put that at the bottom of your notes. 3 John verse 9, I wrote it to the church, but the Diotrephes, who love to have the preeminence among them, received us not. That's not what Paul's admonishing us in Romans chapter 12. To be of the same mind, to live in harmony. Philippians 4, verse 2, I beseech Euodia and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I don't know what the argument was about. I don't know if it's just between these two women or between the two women and the congregations. But whatever it was, Paul was concerned about it, that he wanted to draw it to their attention and call their names in the letter to the congregation there. Ananias and Sapphira, they were in cahoots with each other. Kept back part of the price. They both died. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Demas forsook me, having loved this present world. And one of our lessons was love the brethren, love one another. Love of the world is going to weaken us spiritually. It's going to hinder for they proceed further in ungodliness. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred. So these two men were talking foolishly about things that gendered strife. Their conversation caused division. Their conversation took them to error. And then Paul used the phrase right after they proceed further in ungodliness. It says it eats like a canker. Wow. You ever get a canker sore? You got to cover that up. That's right. Paul didn't want Hymenaeus and Philetus to proceed in ungodliness with their conversation that provoked division, stirred up wrath. So all that we say and do is in view in this lesson of one another to live in harmony. That's the lesson to see. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation, whosoever will may come. If that's your desire this evening, we simply need to have that known. So would you be a member of the New Testament Church? Please let that resolve be known to us, and we can take care of that. So let's stand together, sing the song that Jesus has selected for us, and continue.